Good timing, I guess, because it would have restarted in, remind me, in 10 minutes. No, it's like 4 hours. Okay. So I'm just going to open in prayer, actually, before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the workings of the Holy Spirit, we are before you, and we know that you hear us, that you care about us, that you love us so much. We thank you for the good news that we have because of what your Son has done, that we can share with those around us and those even in other places of the world. I pray that as I share a little bit about what you're doing in France, that it would just encourage the hearts and minds of those here to be active in their circles and sharing the good news of your great love with all those around them. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We shared some news, other good news, at the end of the other meeting. I think everybody was here, but I forgot to mention, it's not Facebook official at this point. We have other people that we want to tell in person, so as far as like anything social media-wise, I mean, you could send us a message and congratulate us, but if it's on our wall, then like, what?
Some people didn't hear the
announcement. Okay, well, the announcement is Rachel and I are expecting a baby due in February. We will be, Rachel will be having the baby in France, so we'd appreciate your prayers for the difficulties involved with that. But we have a great group of support and friends and other missionaries over there to help us through that time. Many families also have young children, so they've kind of just gone through this process. So we're kind of riding along the experiences of them and realizing what to do and not to do, which is good. Especially thinking of things to take back and what is necessary and what's not necessary. So before I begin, I just got back from Camp Iroquoina, and I thought I'd share just two pictures. This is when I was a camper. Which one is me? I'm right in the middle there. It was 1992, so I was probably 9 or 10, or maybe it was 93, I'm not exactly sure. But this was at Deerfoot Lodge. My friend John Hagen, we would go almost every year together. And it was just a great time being in God's creation, hearing things from his word, and being influenced by godly men who came up there. At Deerfoot, it's different. The counselors actually are there for 10 weeks during the summer. That's like the minimum commitment. They show up 2 weeks beforehand for training and preparation, and then there's 4 2-week sessions of boys camp back to back to back to back. And they get days off in between, but it's a pretty big commitment for these guys. But I look back at that time and just think about, I mean, I don't remember specifics of things that they said to me, probably a lot of, flush the toilet, wash your hands, or like go to sleep, be quiet, that kind of stuff. But just thinking back on the influence that they had in my life in ways that I can't fully remember, I'm just very thankful for these guys. That was Roy and Tom. I don't know their last names. I just know that we gave Tom a lot of hard time because Roy liked to tease him a lot. Then this is this past week, actually the first week, I didn't put the other picture up, but we were Tuskegee 4, so you get the T and then 4, our little cabin sign. And a great group of guys. First week we had at Iroquoina about 45 campers, and the second week we only had about 25. The first week they only needed to turn away 5 campers, because they, like many other camps, are having difficulty finding counselors for a variety of reasons. This year it was slightly complicated with the new rules and regulations. And you can see Caleb Roberts, some of you may know him. He was a CIT, but he was an acting junior counselor in my cabin this year to comply. But we had a good time. So I would encourage you, if you had thought about being a counselor or getting involved in the different camps, you never know the influence it might have on these young kids' lives and where they'll end up later. So I appreciate your prayers for that time. And you can keep praying. Soccer camp is this week at Iroquoina. They have was 170 campers plus like camper staff. Then on top of that, the maintenance and camp staff. So it's a very large camp, maximum capacity. And then I think the week after that, Greenwood Hills Boys Camp is, they're at like 160 or something. Like they're very large. but thankfully, Greenwood was able to find all counselors, so they didn't have to turn anybody away. And they actually still have like three spaces open, which is really cool. I'm not going to be involved with either of those camps because we're going back in about a week and a half. But you can just keep them in your prayers. so when we go to different assemblies and... Oh, now it's louder because I'm talking into this one too. I didn't know where it was picking it up. And share with different groups of people. We always get to hear some hymns that we don't hear very often, the ones in the missions and evangelism section of the book. But they're great songs because it's just a good reminder of the things that we have the privilege of sharing with the rest of the world. And I particularly liked 296, we've got a story to tell the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. We've got a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. We've a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent his Son to save us and show us that God is love. We've a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. And it's on our prayer card, Psalm 96:3, but it starts out Psalm 96:1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. and it's because of God's great love that has been shown upon us in our lives that we've been compelled and called to share it with others around us, no matter where we are, but now specifically in France. And going back a little bit, part of camp is memorizing Bible verses. So we have the kids memorize different Bible verses. So before coming home, Rachel and I both challenged ourselves to memorize different Bible verses. But in French. So I'm going to say one verse. Some of you will get it almost immediately, but the rest of you should pick up on it. But car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son fils unique afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle. And that is Jean 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's different memorizing in a different language. And yeah. But I'm going to go through just some of the things that God has been doing in our lives as well as over in France. Some of you have heard a little bit of this before, so bear through the same part at the beginning, but for those who haven't heard, we just thought we'd share some of it again. And then also for those wondering, what do you do in France? We're going to go through very clearly, and I'm going to go through clearly and show you some of the things that we do in France, where we live and where we work. So like I said, this is our prayer card. We have more of those that we can give out to you. There's even a little map on the back to show where Grenoble, France is. But as you can see from this picture, we're standing on top of a mountain. This was actually the day before Christmas this past year, and we're in t-shirts because it was very warm where we were. It got colder eventually, but we felt bad for everybody here posting things about sub-zero for 10 days in a row. And yeah, but if you go high up enough, there's definitely some snow and cold weather. We work with a ministry called the FEU. It's an acronym FEU for Foyer Evangelique Universitaire. I don't have a pointer, but you can see there's a house. That's the little house that the ministry operates out of, and we live in the apartment. It's okay. Yeah. that was really the only place that I needed to point. I almost grabbed the mouse, but maybe. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's the house. And we live in the little apartment above there. And it's in Grenoble, France, which is in the southeast of France. And it's right on the border, very close to the border of Italy. So as you go east, you head into the Alps, cross over them, and then back down into Italy. We're about 6 hours from Paris by car. Or if you take the very fast trains, it's 3 hours. So that's where we live current. Well, we're here, but we live there the rest of the year. This is a picture looking down into the city, south into the city from the Bastille, which you can either hike up or take these little, the teleferique, the bubbles, as people call them. It's a easy hike. It zigzags back and forth, and it's expensive in the teleferique, so we always hike unless somebody else pays for us. Which has happened a couple of times. But it's a good place to go hiking, and it's a really nice view looking down into the city. And the picture here was taken from the top of this mountain over here. We didn't hike from the city. You drive almost halfway up. But some statistics, not much has changed since we've been there. Just by way of comparison, Reading, where we live near, is roughly the same size, the Berks County area is roughly the same size as the Grenoble greater metropolitan area. Different amount of people, but in Grenoble, less than 1% of the people would identify with being Christian, whereas in Berks County, it would probably be about 30%. In Grenoble, there are about 20 evangelical churches that we know of, which works out to be about one for every 35,000 individuals, whereas in Berks County there's close to 375, which is roughly one for every 1,200, where people would have the opportunity to at least hear God's word proclaimed, and then God can work through that and draw them to himself. So the harvest is definitely plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And it's actually been neat over the last year. We've, when we talk to people about where we work and where we live, just hearing interest and other stories of people, oh, I have a friend or somebody that's been going to France, and do you know this person? And so even this past week at camp, I talked with one guy who knew the parents of a guy that we know in France, and so lots of different connections, and it just seems that there's a number of people sort of headed that direction. Into different parts of Europe, so we're excited about what God's doing and how he's calling people into that. So what have we been doing? The basics of the ministry that we're involved in, we live among and minister to French and international students at the FEU, mainly through local church involvement, Bible studies and discipleship, food pantry distribution, gospel-centered outreach events, and life in general. The life in general probably is the bulk of the way we end up ministering to people, as it should be, even though it's last on the list. But this is where I was going to clearly explain kind of like what it is that we do. Everybody has a schedule that they kind of, either it's written down. My dad still uses a paper day timer thing that he carries around. It's his brain. Other people have calendars on their iPhones or their iPads or whatever, but you have, I don't. Rachel's my calendar. I'm along for the ride most of the time. So this, here we go. Look, I made a list. A schedule. Everybody has a schedule that you kind of follow whether or not you stick to it, but in general, this is what our week looks like. On Sundays, I'll go through, I have pictures of each of these different, well, most of these things, but we go to an assembly in the south of Grenoble. It's about a 15-minute drive or so, or a half-hour bike ride. Oh, yeah. People say we come so far because we're, from one side of the city and we go to an assembly on the other side. But it's like, it's 15 minutes. That's so close. And we can bike there when the weather's nice or not ridiculously hot like it is now. It's apparently like 107 there, and it's been that hot for, the last couple of weeks. So it's called the Église Protestante Évangélique de Sassine. So it's the Evangelical Protestant Church of Sassine. But it's historically a brethren assembly there. And we've been warmly welcomed there, slowly getting involved into different things, but mainly still at the foot. Sunday nights is sort of a, I don't know how to say it necessarily, it's like an open invitation to anybody that wants to come. It's the international soiree where we have dinner, we play games, or just sit around and talk. There's no pressure on anybody. We don't, at this point, haven't been doing any singing or Bible studies. We're sort of, that event is sort of in transition. It is a little dependent on the interns that we have, because that's one of the things that they get involved with, and we kind of see where God's leading them to sort of take it in that direction. So it's constantly changing. But it's just a good time to invite people that other students or that we run into in the city, whether in our classes or whatever, hey, come out to the foot. We're going to have dinner, play some games, and hang out. And we've had a lot of people come, some just one or two times. Others have come back somewhat regularly. Tuesday morning, there's a breakfast and a Bible study in French that's not necessarily related to the Wednesday night dinner and Bible study, but it's for French students or English students that want to work on their French, but it's a time for some students to dig deeper into Scripture or things that are on their hearts and minds. We don't lead that because my French is still, you know, in progress. But Wednesday night is sort of the big event at the Feu. We have a dinner and then a Bible study that's in French with discussion groups afterwards in French, English, and Spanish, depending on who shows up. And there's different groups that lead these, different students that lead the groups that dig a little deeper into the text that was just taught on. But it's a great time to get together. The dinners, we see 30, 40 on average, and then the Bible study is about the same or a little bit more. Sometimes people show up afterwards. But I'll explain a little bit more as we go through the pictures. Thursday, John and Justin, two of the missionary guys that are working with Nate in Niger, when they were studying French, they came to Grenoble and lived either at or near the Feu, and they started a English breakfast and Bible study to help the students who were primary English speakers get a little bit more out of the Bible study from Wednesday night. So they would go over the Bible study again, but in English, and it kind of turned into this big thing where then a lot of the French students who wanted to work on their English would start coming, because they get to go through the same material more or less, again, but in English. So it's something that started 2 years, 3 years ago, or something like that, that's been going on, and everybody seems to like it. Thursday, every other Thursday night, we have a food distribution. I'll explain a little bit more about that, too. Friday, we just put in youth group, because there's a number of different assemblies connected with the Feu that use the Feu for different events, and there is supposed to be a calendar that lets us know when things happen. It doesn't always work out that way, and sometimes we'll come back and the food will be like overrun with 30 or 40 little kids running around. It's like, oh, okay, they're here tonight. Cool. And then right before we came back, we were helping this other youth group that's in English for expats that are living in Grenoble, their children or missionaries, kids that come just to help out in English with their youth group. And that was at a different assembly across the river, still in Grenoble more or less. But and then frequently once a month on Saturdays we'll have student work days just to get people, the students involved in the physical care of the building and have them invest a little bit in the ministry in that way. Or short-term teams that come over have helped out with the work days on Saturdays. But every day, there's student discipleship going on. Different people from the different assemblies kind of take responsibility for a few students and meet with them either at the Feu or somewhere else and disciple them. There's lots of work projects. And then sometimes the students just get together and organize a last-minute event and get people together to, you know, go to the soccer field and they have a game that's kind of like Razzle Blast. I'm really confused as to the rules, But I'm sure if anybody played Razzle Blast at Iroquoina, they would also be very confused. But it's the French version, and it doesn't always have to make sense. But yeah, but it's the right way. Yes. So here's the pictures. This is the assembly that we go to. It meets in sort of an industrial park building area. They actually have a space, which is nice because a lot of assemblies and other church groups have a hard time getting, as you know from Colin Marie, have difficulty finding a space that they can actually own and operate out of. But they have a space. And like I said, it's just we've been warmly welcomed. Everything's in French, so it's a great time to practice listening and then having to respond when people come up to us and start talking to us really fast or really quiet voices. And like, what did you say? And we've enjoyed being with them and are looking forward to being back as soon as we get back to France. And there's maybe 70 to 80 people. I don't know. I'm looking at my fact checker. Somewhere in there, yeah. And a number of the students, we chose to go to this assembly out of the ones that were in the Grenoble area because of the team at the FEU on the leadership team, this was the only one that didn't have a FEU presence. So we thought going there would start connecting some of the people more to what's going on at the FEU. And it was neat going there, reconnecting with people, and they're like, oh, you're the young couple at the FEU. We were there so many years ago. We met there. We got saved there or whatever, and now they're involved in spreading the gospel in their communities where they are. So it's neat always hearing these stories how in the past the ministry of the FEU has influenced the lives of those still active in spreading the word. It's neat to be part of a ministry that's still doing that. This is the international soiree, so this is outside of the FEU house. We have a little patio and a barbecue. So the students will come over, they'll bring food and basically just hang out and talk and eat and sometimes play a game. A lot of these events, as you'll see later in the presentation, lead to further conversations and further involvement from those who come. So we're excited to see how when people show up, just to see where they get plugged into the FEU. And it's also a good time for the Christian students to just get together and hang out because it's a good place to do that. We eat outside a lot when we can because inside it's large enough to hold, you know, maybe 50 people or so, but it gets a little packed. So we like to be outside as much as we can. We do have foosball, but it's called baby foot. So it's always funny hearing a grown adults say, you know, do you want to play baby foot? Sure. I always smile and always almost laugh because it's just so funny to me. So Wednesdays, you always know how many people are at the FEU based on when you're walking up how many bicycles are outside. It's a very flat city, so everybody gets around mostly by bicycle. We have a parking lot that rarely gets used. But you come back and there's just bikes everywhere, locked up in every possible location. Always a large group, usually for dinner. This was one of the last times we were there. It was actually during the same time that a student group was there from Chicago. So we set out the longest set of tables we could on the patio and then even more on the other side. It was just neat seeing that many people all together, coming together for like a fellowship dinner and then a Bible study in France. And just being able to do that out in the open is such a nice privilege. And then the teaching goes on inside. Actually, these are the steps up to our little apartment, which is always interesting when there's groups meeting at the FEU. We kind of have to like try to find creative ways to sneak in and quietly go upstairs to not be a disturbance. But like I said there, I'll talk about Ruben in a little bit, but he's from Colombia, he speaks Spanish, and he's been inviting a lot of his Spanish-speaking friends to the Bible studies, and so he'll lead a Spanish discussion group afterwards to help them, you know, understand a little bit more about what's going on. Either Rachel and I or the intern will kind of head up together the English Bible study discussion, and then there's probably five or six maybe more discussion groups in French. plus a discovery group, because we get a number of students that come just on invitations from their friends who are not believers but have questions, and so there's a discovery group that they can come to and just ask whatever question it is. It doesn't even have to be related to what was taught that night, but it's just a time for them to come and openly ask their questions, and we've seen a number of people come through that, become saved, and then get involved in different ministries at the FA. This is Thursdays. I know I jumped ahead, but Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the morning breakfast Bible studies. Thursdays, we get food. Okay, so there's another missionary family that lives in the Grenoble area that has been heading this up for a little bit. He's transitioning his ministry, so he's been trying to find a replacement. I'm so far the most willing of the contestants for this job. So this is becoming something that I'm getting a little more involved in. And the way this works is he has a list of close to 200 names of international students that he'll send out a week in advance and say, food distribution next Thursday, who's coming? If he gets a response, he puts them on a list, and we get maybe 40 to 50 on average, sometimes closer to 70, that respond saying, yes, I'm going to come. So then he can put in an order for 70 people's worth of food that we then go pick up. We have a van, like a work truck type thing, that we can go down to the food bank, which actually historically was a Christian organization that was getting together food and distributing it. The city liked it so much that they took it over, but now allow different organizations to distribute the food. So we're not obviously the only ones, certainly not the only Christian organization distributing the food. There's a Muslim group that shows up around the same time, so we talk with them a little bit. And there's a number of other just basic humanitarian groups that come and also get food from the bank. I could talk for a long time about that, but so we get the food, we bring it back to the FA, students start showing up, some can come a little bit early and help set the food out. Inside the FA, we set up a little circle of tables, well, a U so they don't get trapped. Of foods, they can go in and come out without having to, we're not allowed to proselytize in that way since we're distributing like public goods. So we have to keep that side a little separate from the Christian ministry. They know we're a Christian ministry. The people that work at the bank have come and observed what we do, and they really appreciate what we do and think that it's a good job. And they're impressed by it, and they're encouraging us and everything. So as long as we follow the rules, everything's okay. So what happens is students come before the distribution. As we're getting everything set up, people can just hang out outside or inside if the weather's cold, just hanging out and talking. We try to get students from the FA to come and just kind of mingle and talk with them and see where conversations go. They line up, go in, hand their little ticket in, pay 50 cents, and then they get about 7 items, you know, a liter of milk, some rice, some beans, some fresh fruits and vegetables. Some bread, lots of bread always. And then if they want to, they're free to leave. They can go, you know, back to their dorms or wherever they came from. But there's always extra food because we always get a little bit more just in case other people show up. So some students know that there's going to be extra food. So they hang around for the Duzium tour around the table. They can go through the circle again, but that means they have to hang out for, 15, 20 minutes, which is like the perfect time for them to, so this is them going through the little area, getting the food. But it's the perfect time then for them to come over, play a game of Babyfoot, or just talk and hang out. We put out snacks and encourage students to hang out, we've had some good success of people coming back somewhat regularly. Some have responded to the good news that we have to share with them. Others just come for the food, and that's fine. You know, we'll see what God eventually does with them. Saturdays, we have work days. It's a small piece of property, it has been taken care of mostly for the last couple years, but the last family that lived there was not very handy. Not criticizing them, he's the first to admit that he doesn't. Here hasn't done that work. So we're fixing lots of little things around and trying to spruce the place up so that it has. The road that goes in front of the FA is one of the main roads that the students who live in the dorms over there walk this way right in front of the FA to go to the university. And there were hedges that were kind of blocking everything. They were sort of a little overgrown, so we've been trying to kind of tone everything down so that they can kind of see the house and see people hanging out and kind of wonder what's going on and come in and just hang out. And there's right behind us, there's an apartment building that a number of students, not from the FIB, but other students, rent that walk by all the time, and we've had a number of them come to the different events at the FIB just because they walk by and they see all these students hanging out outside, like, what's going on, you know, and so they come over, and it's been good that way. Setting up fences out of pallets to keep dogs out of the garden, cleaning off hedges and cleaning that up, and lots of staining. The sun is very hot. So we have to stain the wood and the shutters and everything. So one of the daily things is flood control. We have a basement bathroom problem that we're working on, but a number of times I've had to mop up, which is always interesting. Actually, the very first night that we got there when we went last year, I went downstairs around like 1 o'clock in the morning to look for something because some family had left some things for us. And I walked downstairs and it's like, and there was just water everywhere because the basement had flooded. So welcome to France. And yeah, flood control is something we're trying to figure out what exactly to do to stop it from happening. We do daily food runs, not daily, but food runs somewhat regularly to help the students out. We have a car. It's small, as you can see. It's parked next to a Mini, and it's smaller than the Mini. but it's a little station wagon and very useful for the things that we have to help out with. Because when you're, Rachel doesn't always cook, but when other students cook, we sometimes help them get food. And when you're cooking for 40 to 50 people, it's a lot of food, and it's hard to carry that much food on a bike. So we're glad to help out in that way. Here's Rachel cooking her natural habitat. this is actually at, this is not our kitchen, unfortunately. This is a very nice professional kitchen at Camp des Cimes, which is like the Iroquois of the Alps, that we helped out with one of the groups that was there. We'll be going back in August to also work at this camp again. Rachel will probably be in the kitchen, and I'll be doing maintenance and that kind of stuff. They wanted me to do the kids program, but in French, I'm just not there yet, so I'll be cleaning toilets. Fine by me. I can work on my French and memorization then. We have a little bit of a garden out back. It was seriously overgrown, but Rachel's been doing a really good job of putting it back to productive use and getting food for the dinners and everything else, and it's been a neat way to kind of meet other neighbors and people in the neighborhood. It seems to be that like the two things that really, other than having an animal or maybe a child, which is possibly happening, definitely happening, but two things that help you have conversations with people are like your ability to garden and your ability to fix things. So Rachel is the gardener and I'm the brickler. So anytime anything's broken, I'm usually the first person that they come and talk to if it's a bike or laptop stands or whatever else. Students just bring stuff over and that. And the garden is good because there's a couple older people in our neighborhood that come by and they hear that we have a garden out back, so they'll sneak around back and like look over the fence and see what we're growing. And we have good conversations with them that way. And the front, here's the front of the FIB now. That tree that's still sort of blocking the view was much larger, and there's all sorts of stuff here that we ripped out just to make sure people could see the FIB and be able to see students hanging out and just enjoying each other's company and find out what's going on. So we worked on shop renovation to make it a little bit more useful. I wish I had a before picture. You could barely walk in here. And or breathe in there. There was so much mold. We had a stove in our kitchen. This is our kitchen, so it's not professional. Not our kitchen upstairs. This is the kitchen downstairs at the FIB. The stove would sometimes shut off mid-cooking for all of these people. So we'd have to shuttle stuff up to our apartment back and forth to our tiny little oven. But one of the Assemblies graciously donated the funds for a new stove, which has been really nice to use. Some furniture upgrades. Like, this is little things, but it ends up making a big difference for students coming in and wanting to hang out and spend time there. One thing that we learned this past year is that missions work really is just a lot of work. But we've been reminded of what God's word says about work. And in Colossians 3, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So it puts a whole different spin and perspective on the work that we do when we realize that we should be working as for the Lord, whatever it is. Because if I'm, you know, cleaning toilets for, you know, ungrateful students, I'm going to have a bad attitude about it, right? But when we realize this is the Lord's work, this is what God wants us to be doing, and I'm doing this as unto Him, it totally changes perspective. And Matthew 5 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So the FUT's an acronym, like I said before, but it also means light. And it's up on a little bit of a hill. So we've been challenged by this to kind of make it a little bit more visible so that people see it and wonder what's going on there. Why do these people live differently? And they might be attracted to that. To the Lord and His work going on there. And so my challenge to everyone here is, are you shining the light while working as for the Lord so that others may see and glorify our God? And I just wanted to go through four examples of people that have been faithful and obedient to what God's been doing in their lives and the way it's impacted others. So here you can see Johnny Hayes. He's another CMML missionary who was working with Nate Bramson. When he was studying at the QF, well, when he was studying French, he went to the QF, which is the language school that I was going to. And he met this guy, Ruben, who is from Colombia, and invited him out to the food distribution on a Thursday night. So Ruben came because, you know, who would pass up food for 50 cents? He comes, finds out about one of the Bible studies, and was like, okay, you know, they're really nice. I'm just going to be thankful and, you know, grateful to them and come to a Bible study. But it was like the perfect time, and God spoke to his heart through that Bible study, and he started coming again and again and again. And eventually, he became a Christian, got involved in a discipleship program, and then he's been really instrumental in some of the things going on at the FU this past couple of years. Like I said, he leads the Spanish Bible study discussion group, which is just really neat. So you have John, who invited him out, just, you know, come to the food distribution, and you can see what's possible with that. We've really enjoyed getting to know Ruben. He doesn't live at the FU anymore. He moved into the city with a couple of other Christian students, but he still comes by to have his bike worked on, so we still see him a lot. Cammy, who's in the orange shirt, I don't know how well the... Oh, it's a little dark. So Ruben's in the background. Cammy's up here. He grew up in France in a town that was half an hour or so away, which he is always like, oh, I'm going home for the weekend. It's like, you live half an hour away. Like, that's not going home for the weekend. Like, going home for the weekend is like an hour, 2 hour drive at least, right? But it's this big deal to go home half an hour away. So anyway, he grew up, he had a Christian friend named Ellie, who he was in high school with, and they were just really good friends all growing up and all through middle school, high school. And Ellie was just, you know, a really strong Christian, always willing to share what he knew about God and God's word with whoever would talk to him. So Kemi, of course, starts asking questions. And through Ellie's testimony, Kemi eventually becomes a Christian, starts coming to the Bible studies, gets involved in the discipleship programs at the FU. And he also lived at the FU too, so we also got to know Kemi really well. But it was through the testimony of Ellie's life, just, you know, shining through the love of God to Cammy, that Cammy also came to know and experience the great love of God. Natalia here, She's from Brazil. She's right here with the war paint, playing the Razzle Blast game, I think. I'm not sure. but she was invited at the beginning of the year to the kickoff barbecue that we hosted. We printed out little cards, and the students went out on the university campus and just passed out these invitations. €3, you get a meal, hang out, meet other students. There's also a little yard sale that we collect items from the different assemblies throughout the year and then sell them at very cheap prices to students who need stuff as they're moving into their dorms. So she came out to the kickoff barbecue, found out about the food distribution, started coming to that. She's active and likes playing sports, so she started coming to all the different game days that students were putting together. And then a lot of those sort of coincided with different Bible studies and conversations, so she started coming to that. And she started a discipleship program with some of the younger women on the ministry team there. She did just recently move to Strasbourg for, I don't know if it was an internship or for school, but she got involved in another Christian ministry up there. We don't know for sure if she's committed her life to Christ, but she's definitely headed in that direction, so you can keep her in your prayers. But we're just excited to see how God used the foot and the different people and the students there to show his love and draw her to himself. And then lastly here, we have Sanjay. He was from India. I met his friend Harry at the QF, Harry Hiran, and we just hung out, you know, before and after class, during class and the breaks and everything. And both of them were, for whatever reason, very, very interested in American culture. So when they found out we were going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, they were like, oh, American Thanksgiving, let's come. So we got to share that tradition with them, because it was all of a sudden a realization that nobody celebrates Thanksgiving here, for obvious reasons. But they came out. They had a really good time. They came back out to the Christmas Christmas Day. A lot of the students, France has a lot of the religious holidays off, so a lot of students go home, but the international students really don't have anywhere to go. They're allowed to stay on campus and in the city, but one of the assemblies that meets at the FOTS, an English-speaking group, hosted a Christmas Day dinner, so for all the students that didn't have anywhere else to go, they could come over. So we had a pretty good group. Harry and Sanjay came out again for that. They got to hear the gospel clearly presented in light of everything that was going on, and experience a little bit more of just life as Christians coming together and celebrating Christ's birth. Both of them are just really nice guys, thankful and everything, and so they've been out to every single work day that we've had. And Sanjay loves to eat, and so he never passes up one of the soirees. So if we send a message out on Facebook, he's usually the first one to respond or show up. So it's great getting to know him. He, right before we came home, one of the last barbecues we had together, we had a really good conversation. He was asking questions about Christianity and the Bible. So we were just talking, and then he was like, oh, I can find the Bible online, right? So I gave him some links to Bibles online, and then after he left, we quickly, frantically searched for an English Bible. His French is more or less survival right at this point, but one of the other missionaries in the city had an English Bible. So I got it the next day and met up with him and gave it to him. And he was like, oh, thank you very much. You know, he's like, when do you want me to give it back? And I was like, no, this is for you. Like, you can read it. So I gave him some different things to look over and to read this summer while he's off from his studies. So I'm praying that God uses those times and our time together in conversations just to work in his heart and his life. And you can be praying for him too, that God would do a work in his heart. So we're here until July 29th. And then we head back to France. There's a French family camp at Camp Tessine. And then at the end of the month is the Christian Workers Conference in Annecy, France. That will be a nice time to get together and see what God's doing in other missionaries all over Europe. And then we go back to life as normal at the foot. So whatever the normal is, we'll find out. So I hope that was helpful in getting a clearer picture of what we're involved in France, feel free to come up and talk to us afterwards and get a prayer card. I think there's even some in the back. We have a blog that's currently down for some reason, but we try to keep it somewhat updated, maybe once every other month or so. But yeah, that's all I have for now. So thank you. And I'll just close in prayer. Again, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for your great love that you showed to us through your Son and that you poured out in our hearts and our minds through your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we do have a great privilege to share this good news with people all over the world. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength and the patience to be obedient wherever we are in sharing that good news with those who are around us. Even in the things that don't seem like a big deal, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and our minds to make our attitudes right so that people might see the difference that you've made in our lives and want to know what's going on so that they too might see your love. Pray that you would be with us as we head out from here. And we just thank you for your great love and faithfulness to us. And I pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.